give and that you wish you could get back. And everybody has an enemy of time tonight. Each and every one of us, we have a time that we're born, and then we're going to have a time that we die. And what we do in between there is going to be our story, and we're going to carry it on to judgment. But tonight, as we sit here in the pew and our hearts are beating and our lungs are filling up with air, tonight we still have an enemy of time. Now I want you to hear me. As we were driving down the road, I began to reminisce on all the time that I've spent here in Virginia and the time that I've spent growing up, and many people in the pew here tonight that knew me when I was little, and now I'm standing here. And I would begin to think about the times that I spent with Jason and Zach. And I remember the first time that I met Brother Jason at my house. And I remember the revival that Jason preached, the first time I'd ever begin to hear him preach. And begin to remember the times that he would give the altar call, and my uncle would come, and my brother would come, and I would come and get saved. And I just begin to think about time and how that we all, if we could, and be honest with ourselves, I see some white hair tonight. I see some a long white hair on the women, and if you would be honest tonight, I'm sure there's some moments in your life that you wish you could go back and relive. But tonight, those moments, they are gone. We cannot relive them. But what we make of the time now is what matters. We can't reminisce on the days of old. Brother Aaron, we can't look back and say and remember the times that we fall on the trampoline. But what about now? Are we going to fight now? Let me ask you tonight. You say, I remember. Where's the brother at? Said, I can remember the time that my baby was sick and my wife was sick. And he said, I can remember. Tonight, we need to stop trying to remember the times of old. But we need to look forward to the time that is set before us now. And realize that there is still a work to be done.
Amen. That's right.
Bless
the Lord.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Time is a precious thing. Time is something that no man can give, no man can buy, no man can sell. But time is precious. Now I want us to look back over our lives for a minute and just think about our story and how God has unfolded it for us. And I'm sitting here thinking there's a lot going through my head right now. But I'm thinking about my father, how that I'm sure if he could just buy another 10 years for his mother, if he could, he would do it tonight. And I can think about the brother with the brain cancer. If he could, he would buy time tonight. He wouldn't buy a new pair of shoes. He wouldn't buy a new suit or a new rifle or a new gun. But he would simply buy the gift of time tonight. Let me ask you tonight, how is your time with God going? How are you spending that time? Are you spending that time wisely? Are you spending that time foolishly? Are you letting it slip through your fingers? Here today and gone tomorrow. As the flower fadeth, time is being pulled out from under us. I think about Sean Reif sitting back there in the pew. Health issues starting to hit him. I remember when he first came back, how big and strong that he was, Brother Jason. And now he has to sit back there and think about, does he have his medicine for tomorrow? Am I going to feel all right tomorrow? Let me remind each and every one of you tonight, your time here on earth, it is numbered. It does matter how you spend it. It does matter where you spend it. And I want you to remember, time is slipping from your grip.
It is, man. That's right. That's right. That puts us all under conviction.
Nehemiah chapter 1.
Amen.
Now I want you to stay with me. I'm going to be flipping through here. Nehemiah, the men of Judah, they came to him and they said that the walls of Jerusalem, they are torn down and the gates, they are burned with fire. And it says that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Now when I read that, I thought, why in the world was he weeping? Why was he weeping? I can imagine as he got the news that the walls had been torn down, he began to remember that the time when the walls were standing strong, when there was safety in the midst of Jerusalem. And he remembered the time that was safe. And when it hit him, reality smacked him in the face, said the time has changed. The walls are now torn down. He began to cry. He began time is changing in each and every one of your lives. I can remember when the Nunleys came to our house, and you're just going to have to listen to me tonight. First time I met them, I was 7 years old. And Zach wasn't born yet, was he? Maybe a baby, something like that. Anyway, Zach, I don't know if he was around, but Hannah and Julie were. And I can remember the first time that I had ever even laid eyes on him. You may say that's a little weird, but no. I remember the time that we spent together growing up as kids. We would play games. We would anything we could come up with, play house, play football, play hide and seek, play freeze tag. And we spent time together. And we grew up together. And now the time simply seems to be changing. If we could, we would go back and we would relive those times. Brother Aaron, I would relive those times where we could simply say, do you want to go play some freeze tag out in the yard? Do you want to simply just forget all the mess and go have some fun? And if I could, I would relive those days. But the time has changed. I cannot relive those days if I wanted to, Brother Aaron. Time is simply slipping from our grip.
That's right.
And so now, as I sit here, and I may get a little emotional because I think about the time. Riding down the road, I was thinking, you know, where has the time gone? Where has the time gone? Has the flower faded? So does my life fade. Anyway, Nehemiah, they came to him with some bad news, and he cried and wept certain days. But here's what I want us to look at tonight. When the devil presents opposition in your life, and it simply brings hurt and pain, and you would do anything to be able to get rid of it and go to a time, a moment, a better time in your life, you would take it, but you can't.
That's right.
It's not going to happen.
Right.
So Nehemiah, the walls were still torn down. Yeah. It was all still a mess. He said that he wept certain days.
Yeah.
But then he prayed before God, reminded him of the covenant that he made with Moses. And he realized that the city was lying waste. But he didn't say that, leave it to the men of Judah, to those that came out of the captivity. Surely they'll have a passion to rebuild the walls. Surely the ones that came out of a bondage, came out of chains and out of captivity, surely they'll be the ones that'll say, let me rebuild the safety. Nehemiah didn't wait for them to say it. No, but he went before the king. He went straight before him and he said, King, that I may build it. He said, the time has changed, King, but I've got to do something about it. Jerusalem is laying waste. The walls have been torn down, and the city is under attack. But King, send me that I may build it.
Praise the Lord.
Nehemiah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus.
My God, what a man. Nehemiah, he said, King, send me. King said, went before him. Nehemiah was never upset. The king said, what's wrong with you? He said, how can I be happy when the city lieth waste? And the king said, all right. And he said, send me. And he said, okay, how long? And he sent him and then sent him back. He said, it's going to take this long, king.
Right.
So the king sent him. And he went after and he had a work to be done. Now Jerusalem is a big city. Not simply a wall around this church. That would take probably a couple of months just around the church. But Jerusalem was a huge city. There were some big holes in the wall. And they said that Nehemiah, the people that he got together, they didn't think he could do it. They didn't think that he had what it took. But Nehemiah said, you just hold on 1 minute. He said, you follow me. He said, you get behind me. And when they said that Sanballat came before him, began to say that we're going to attack you. We're going to kill you. Nehemiah said, no, 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 no. He said, whenever you hear that trumpet sound, he said, you get back to where I'm at. And he said, the Lord will fight our battle for us. He said, God.
trumpet, please.
Amen.
So we have some in the pew that are fighting depression and oppression. He said, the writer said, so I turned and considered all the oppressions that were done under the sun and the tears of such as were oppressed. He said, wherefore I praise the dead more than the living. You've allowed the devil to successfully tell you your battle's going to take you down. The oppression that he's placed on your life, you're now saying, I would to God rather be dead than I would be alive. The battle's just too big. The oppression is just too heavy. But you're forgetting that you've got a God that knows how to fix your issue, that knows how to pull you out of the gutter, that knows how to put food on your table, that knows how to pay your bills, that knows how to help you on your job, that knows how to clothe your babies. Are you hearing me tonight? You serve a living God. It said it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. My friend, tonight your God is not dead. He's not going away on a journey, but he's here tonight, and he's looking for somebody to simply say that I may build it.
Let me do it.
That's right.
That's right.
Bless the Lord.
Nehemiah, they came against him 5 times, laughed at him, said, we're going to kill you, said, you're not making. Every time that they did that, Nehemiah stood strong. Nehemiah never batted an eye. In the midst of those people mixing that mud, gathering them rocks, and the children running around with no walls of safety, in the midst of all that, and them in their face saying, we're going to get you, saying, we're going to kill you, Nehemiah stood strong and said, it'll not happen. Said, it won't happen. And so the enemy, let me just preach for a minute. In chapter 5, it says that a dearth hit. Said that they came to him whining and saying that we've sold all that we've could. We've made mortgages. We've sold our daughters. And they'll never get out. They'll never find freedom. And they came to Nehemiah and told him. Nehemiah rebuked him. Nehemiah said, hold on a second. He said, it's not going to happen that way. I believe it says that he went to him, correct me if I'm wrong, and got back their freedom and forgave their debt. Am I right, preachers? Nehemiah went to him. And when they said that the dearth is going to kill us, Nehemiah said, it won't happen. You just hold on. In fact, it said that he killed an ox and 6 sheep every day, and he never touched the governor's bread. Hey, tonight, church, he'll sit 150 people at your table in the midst of a dearth and feed them in the face of Sanballat just to show you what kind of God he is. And you can't be eating the governor's bread and expect God to give you his bread too. It ain't going to happen, man. So we wonder why we get in a valley and we're starving for something. And we're wondering, blaming it on God, where you at? I can't feel you. I can't get nowhere. Are we eating the governor's bread tonight? Is there some in the pew that are dabbling out of both barrels, trying to reach for meal from each side, trying to have a little bit of the world and also holiness? Friend, it don't work that way. You say, I can have a little bit of this and a little bit of that. But Paul said in Hebrews 12:14, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. I'll not get away with it. You won't get away with it. Nehemiah didn't get away with it. Hey, we've got to cling back to holiness.
Amen. That's right.
Chapter 6 is coming down towards the end.
Bless the Lord.
And Nehemiah, Sanballat makes another last-ditch effort to come against him. But it said that Nehemiah, he realized that they simply thought to do him mischief.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And he said, I want you to hear what he said. He sent messengers unto them saying, I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down to you?
Amen.
Tonight, the enemy is saying, come on down. All we want to do is talk.
Amen.
We don't want you. Let me just get in your business for a minute, if that's all right. He's not saying, forsake the church, forsake your family, go commit murder tonight. Nobody simply starts with a simple message from somebody saying, come on down here. All I want to do is talk with you for a minute. And what are those things called? They are called weights. They're not straight out sins to start off with, but they're weights that begin to weigh you down. He said, why should I come down? Those weights, they come after you. And most of us are so blind that we can't even see the weights. So we fall sucker to them every time that the devil sends them. I would to God tonight, somebody would wipe their eyes clean and realize the weights that are weighing them down. For there is a work to be done. Somebody's got to build back the walls. Somebody's got to put out the fire. Somebody's got to get down and buy the mortar. Somebody's got to do it. And who is it going to be?
Yeah. Yeah. I am, that's right.
Amen.
Bless him, Lord.
Anyway, he said the work's not going to cease. They came after him, some other men, and he began to pray. And I want you to get this. He said, God, strengthen my hands.
Yes, sir.
Coming to a close, getting down to the end. The walls are starting to look pretty good, but he's starting to get a little tired. Starting to get a little weary from the enemy. Let me remind you, friend. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness.
Yeah.
Nehemiah didn't have that scripture, but he knew it was getting down to the end. And just because he was weak, he couldn't give up now. Just because his hands were beginning to get a little sore, maybe arthritis had begun to set in on him. He said, God, strengthen my hands. You know what he was saying? God, I'm still going to build it in the midst of the enemy. When they come to me and say, you'll not do it. He was saying, God, simply give me the strength to hold on.
I am dry. Bless him, Lord.
Now this part gets me every time that I read the story. Said that in 52 days, the wall was finished. 52 days. Every hole around the wall, the city of Jerusalem, the gates that were burned with fire, every little hedge that the enemy was coming after, 52 days was done.
Amen. That's right.
Now, if Nehemiah would have looked at the king, he may have told him it'll only take 52 days. I don't know. It gave him a time. But if Nehemiah would have looked at the people and said 52 days, it'll be done. I believe a lot of them would have left because they would have been like, there's no way. Too much work. He's going to work us to death.
That's right.
But with God, all things are possible.
I am.
You may think it's going to take forever to get out of your valley. When brain cancer sets in, you say, I may not ever get out of it. But with God, all things are possible.
I am.
I feel like somebody needs to get that tonight.
Amen.
All things are possible.
Amen.
Just because it looks real bad, just because reality says it won't happen, there's no possible way. With God, all things are possible.
Amen.
I'm coming to a close. Somebody come get a song for me. Now, Nehemiah, tonight, God showed this to me. He was a form of Christ throughout this whole story. He really was. He stood strong. He restored, Brother Jason. He built back what was broken. He mended what needed to be fixed. And it says here in chapter 2, it says, when Sanballat, the Horonite, and Tobiah, the servant, the Ammonite, heard of it, it grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. So I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. And I arose in the night. Maybe I'm just crazy. When I read that, Nehemiah was seeking the welfare of the children of Israel. He was looking to help them. They couldn't fix it. Nobody had the unction, the passion, the know-how. And the enemy heard about it. Said that somebody's coming and he's seeking the welfare. Send a friend tonight. Jesus is seeking your welfare. Jesus is a gentleman. He's not going to make you start the work. He's not going to pull you out of your family, of your house, make you come down to the altar, start the work. But he is seeking your welfare tonight. He is looking out for you tonight. He wants to help you. And the wall simply represented safety. And when you're outside of the wall, outside of the reach of Jesus, you have no safety. Doesn't matter your job, your 401k, what kind of vehicle you got. If you don't have Jesus, you have nothing to depend upon. Your welfare, it is at stake tonight. You may not make it till tomorrow. You may end up dead and left in Jerusalem because your walls have not been built. But tonight, if everybody stands.
But all I gotta do is speak his name.
Christian friend,
oh,
don't believe I'd ought to beg you down to the altar tonight.
His name.
That I may build it. That I may build it. If you're slack on the work of God tonight, Christian friend, you need to get to the altar and say, God, put my hand to the plow. God, give me a work. You may not have one just yet, but he'll give you one. It's funny how the first ones to the altar are usually the ones that already got stuff on their plate. But what about some of you sisters that never pray, that never do much for the church, that simply come in and leave? What about you men that miss the work days, that don't show up and help out? Where's your work at? Where have you been? There is a work to be done. It takes a group effort to build back the walls.
He made the lame to walk. He made the dumb to talk. He caused the blind to see. And he made a way for me when I was down and out, deep in despair. My Savior came and he found me there.
Tonight I want you to hear me.
Brought me out.
Time is slipping.
There were days
time
I
is
feel
fading.
The enemy
time is not your friend.
But if I breathe,
but time and chance and happeneth to all. That's what the Bible
all
says.
I gotta do is
sinner friend, please realize tonight that there is safety in the arms of God. There is peace in the arms of God.
Jesus, something about the
would you come down to this altar and feel the safety that lies within the walls?
Jesus, there's peace in the name of
it's a scary world out there. People getting killed. People dying.
He made the lame to walk.
America is slipping.
He made the
we're forgetting God.
Talk.
We're being turned into hell.
He cause the blind to see.
You need God in your life. Get to this altar. Get to this altar. Right now. Right now. Get to this altar. Do you feel it beating in your chest? Are you afraid what people might think? Are you worried about what people are going to say? Friend, you're going to have to face God sometime. And there will be a time in your life when you will need a God. And let me ask you, will your God be able? Will your God suffice? But it's the God that you're serving. Will he leave you high and dry? Will it not be enough? Well, if so, I serve a God that's got it all. I serve a God that knows what you need, that can supply everything that you want if you just simply get to the altar tonight.
Oh, Jesus, there's something about the name of Jesus.
Thank God for
healing
the safety.
In the name of Jesus. There's peace in the name of Jesus. He made the lame to walk.
Thank God for the safety.
Dumb to
Christian
talk.
Friend, if you need to pray, come
he
pray
caused
right
the
now.
Blind to see, and he made a way for me when I was down and out, deep in despair. My Savior came and he found me there. He brought me out. Oh, he brought me out. There were days I feel the enemy surrounding me. But if I breathe, they would come and devour me. But all I gotta do is speak his name. Oh, just speak his name. Jesus, there's something about the name of Jesus. There's healing in the name of Jesus. There's peace in the name of Jesus. He made the lame to walk. He made the dumb to talk. He caused the blind to see. And he made a way for me when I was down and out, deep in despair. My Savior came and he found me there. He brought me out. Oh, he brought me out. There were days I feel the enemy surrounding me. And if I breathe, he would come and devour me. But all I gotta do is speak his name. Oh, just speak his name. Jesus, there's something about the name of Jesus. There's healing.